Hello and welcome to round five of the Pecking Order Show, a show where we talk all things Australian football, mainly through the lens of the TPO rankings. You can think of it like the FIFA World Rankings, but with the top 200 clubs around Australia, and we'll certainly be talking more on that this evening. I'm up here on the Sunshine Coast in Queensland, and Jake is joining me via Skype from Brisbane. Jake, how are you going this evening?
Hello, Cody. I'm very well, thank you.
That's the way. In round five of the Pecking Order Show, as always, we'll be recapping some of the results from around the country from the weekend's games. As just mentioned, we'll be explaining how the TPO rankings were formed and how they work. And then, yes, as always, we'll be looking at some of the upcoming games fixtures. So let's jump right on in. TPO rankings. All right, so now in last week's game, I pitched a bit of an idea on how we'd be voting on games on Instagram, and long story short, it was more difficult than I had time for and effort for. So instead of sort of looking at each person's individual votes and seeing who got them all right, what we're going to do to make things a little bit simpler is basically add all the people who voted percentage-wise up and basically call you one voter as a supporter and see how you guys go. So it'll make more sense in a second. So as we go through the preview here, we'll throw up the pre-game stats to show you which way the TPO probabilities went, and then we'll compare them against how you guys as supporters voted on Instagram stories. So I'll run through the three games I previewed, and then Jake, you can run through the two games you previewed. Sound all right?
Sounds right to me.
Good. You don't have any choice. So let's kick off. So on Friday night, Hobart Zebras played South Hobart, and the Zebras won 5-3. The TPO predicted a South Hobart win, and the supporters on Instagram, you guys actually voted South Hobart as well, 62% of you. The Zebras up to 85th on the ranking, second highest in Tasmania, and South Hobart down to 43rd. And the T-Boc, the Pecking Order Championship, the South Hobart were the holders and now passes on to Hobart Zebras, and that's after the first time in 10 months that's passed on. So pretty big first round result there for Hobart Zebras. The next game we previewed, or I picked out, was, I think we both picked this one, Jake, but I'll run
through.
We
did, yes.
Yeah, so Sydney United versus Blacktown City. Blacktown City winning 1-0 away from home. TPO, the system, predicted a Blacktown City win, and the supporters, you guys, also went with Blacktown City. So 57% of you guys went with Blacktown. So we're one apiece, actually. We both got the first one wrong, but we both got the second one right. And the third game in the Victorian NPL, we had Oakley Cannons at home against Heidelberg United. Now, Heidelberg United actually won that 3-0, and both the TPO system and the supporters voted for Heidelberg. So that's two apiece. Jake, what were the two games you chose?
Okay, so the first one was opening round in Northern New South Wales NPL between Landon Jeffers and Edgeworth Eagles, the grand final replay. Landon Jeffers got up 4-3 there, and this was one that I watched the live stream. So the Edgeworth were winning a couple of times throughout the game, and Jeffers got a couple of late goals there. So they got up, which actually goes against what TPO rankings probability suggested. So we had Edgeworth down as the slight favourites, and supporters for the same way as we did, but much more heavily. So 83% of you picked Edgeworth Eagles, so we were both wrong on that front.
So that's two each. We've got two right and two wrong.
Yep. And then the last one that I had was in the Queensland NPL, Western Pride, Moreton Bay. And we have Western Pride as the favourites there, but a reasonably close game. Mm-hmm. And the supporters also picked Western Pride there, and we were both right. and Western Pride actually thumped Moreton Bay 5-0, so it was a much less even game than probably both us and the supporters would have predicted on that one. So.
Yeah.
3-3 at the end of that one.
And I think Western Pride jumped up quite a few points from that game as well, because it was quite a tightly contested game in terms of the rankings.
They did, and they're actually closing in on Brisbane Strikers at the top of the rankings in, or at least out of the Queensland clubs there. So
yeah, cool.
Makes it pretty interesting.
So that's, yeah, we both got, so the TPO predicted three, got 3 out of 5 right, and so did the supporters. We to be fair, we the supporters and TPO predicted the same results in every game, so hopefully that doesn't keep happening, otherwise this segment will turn into a bit of a waste of time maybe, but we'll keep going, things going for now. So remember guys, Instagram stories, where sort of Wednesday night to Thursday night I'll post the games we're going to preview in this week's show, and you can jump on and vote in the Instagram stories polls. So Jake, were there any sort of other, we've just recapped the 5 games we talked about last week, were there any other movements in the rankings or anything else stand out?
There's a couple there, and before I mention that, I think probably a bit late for the games we've picked this week, but next week my challenge to myself is going to be to pick something that hopefully is a bit more tough to pick and throws the supporters off.
That's
my challenge. Yeah. But anyway, so I guess in terms of some of the games that happened over the weekend, or at least the movements in the rankings, couple at the top of the table, we had Green Gully from Victoria and Brisbane Strikers, obviously from Queensland, both move into the top 25 clubs in Australia. And they actually knocked Sydney Olympic and Edgeworth Eagles out of the top 25. Mm-hmm. So Brisbane, like we just mentioned, is still the top club in Queensland at the moment, and back in the 25. Bayswater City, just to mention as well, is also, after 4 wins from 4 to start their season, they're pushing closer to the top 25 as well. They're up to 29th in the country. So very good start
there. So they're the highest ranked team in Western Australia?
Yes, they are at the moment.
Aside from Perth Glory, obviously.
Yep. And then the other one worth mentioning is Peninsula Power from the second tier in Queensland, the FQPL, are 6 wins from 6, so a perfect start to the season, still progressing for another week. And they've scored boatloads of goals. I think they're averaging over 5 a game at the moment. Mm. And I guess that one's worth mentioning just because, as we've talked about before, it's the first year that Queensland will have a 2-tier structure with promotion relegation beginning at the end of this year. So Peninsula are actually the 7th highest ranked club in Queensland, despite being in the second tier. Yeah. So they're actually ranked higher than more than half of the NPL. So you can expect them to be promoted, at least going off current results so far.
Okay, well, let's move on to part 2, segment 2 of the show, and that's the TPO rankings. It's at the core of everything we do here. It's what the show is sort of centered around. And I know you've made a good post on our Facebook page, which is pinned at the top. But for everyone watching, I want you to break it down for us. Let's start, before you get into the nitty-gritty, let's start with, why did you start the TPO rankings?
So I guess the rankings, like I say, is our main focus here. We have a few other bits and pieces, but when it comes down to it, it's all about the rankings, the pecking order rankings. And also, like you kind of said at the top of the show, the easiest way to think about them is, at least for most people watching, we would all know what the FIFA World Rankings are for ranking national teams. So essentially, that's all it is. It's the FIFA World Rankings, but for Australian football clubs. It's a way of measuring the strength of clubs and comparing them, particularly clubs that don't generally play each other. So, you know, what we like to say sometimes is that in terms of measuring the quality of a club or which are the best clubs, you can look at league tables and number of wins and all those sort of things. But this is just another one of those options for measuring which is the best club at a point in time. And I guess if you think about why we started it, it was to start with just because it's interesting and something that we'd seen somebody else do for the A-League clubs, and I think it was around the time the FFA Cup was starting. We thought, well, some of these different states are starting to play each other, so you know, how do we know going into a game what to expect? Mm-hmm. So we did up the rankings from there. And when
you say we, you mean you.
Oh, look, I'm trying to give you a little bit of credit, but look, it's just one of those things that somebody had to do at some point. It was too interesting not to do, and why not? You know, we started it and we've expanded a little bit, which we can get into in a minute. But
yeah, and just quickly, I think the way you've explained it to me, there was someone doing something, or someone does something similar for the big European clubs, right?
Yeah, exactly. And there's actually a number of them, but a couple in particular, looking at, like I say, European club football, and looking particularly at those Champions League games and Europa League, which, like I said, the FFA Cup is our version of that, I guess, in a sense. And that FFA Cup starting in 2014 allows these rankings, essentially.
Sure.
Yeah, so I mean, it's, at the end of the day, it's about discussion, about creating discussion or adding to discussion around football. And I say nothing we do is perfect, and it's not meant to be. But if we can start some debate and all in good nature, then all the better for will be for it.
Okay, so that's sort of why maybe you started it. Why? How does it work?
Yeah, so again, some of you guys who are watching will already know this. We've got a post up on Facebook, but I'll go through it just very quickly and try and keep it simple. If you look at the rankings, every club has a TPO score, and that score is based purely on the past results of that club. The team with the highest score, obviously, is ranked number one and so on down the rankings. And I guess one way to think about it is it's a measure of relative strength. So what I mean by that is we have two clubs who are playing a game. We can look at the TPO score of each of those clubs and relative to each other. So, you know, how big is the gap between the two clubs or how close are they? Tells us a little bit about what we can expect for that game. And we use that to come up with our probabilities that we've been kind of putting into different graphs and things on the show. So I guess the main question then is if everything kind of comes off the main thing that we use to determine these probabilities and rankings is that TPO score, then how do we get it? And there is a bit of a calculation. It's not overly complicated, and I'll try and talk through it. Mm-hmm. It's based on a system called the ELO system, E-L-O, and it's named after the guy that came up with it, and it's been used or applied to a whole heap of
different fields. What, his name was ELO?
Oh, Dr. someone or other ELO, yeah. Something. and like I said, it's been applied to lots of fields, but football is one of those where they took the original formula and kind of adapted
it
for things
like... You once told me it was done for chess originally?
Yeah. Ranking different chess players or, you know, the chess masters, those sort of guys. Mm-hmm. So, but obviously, in a chess match, you have two people and one of them is generally going to be a winner. When we talk about football, there's other things like how much do you win by, you know, goal difference and home team advantage and a couple of other football-specific variables. So somebody smarter than we are went and adapted this thing to adjust for those other football-specific variables, and we picked it up. We made a few amendments of our own, just small things that we tested to make sure they actually improved our predictions, and that's what the TPO scores are based on. How do they actually work? I'm going to bring in some props here. Bear with me. I'm going to adjust my camera here down and not to make it look like I'm getting you to look towards the crotch region, but what we've got here in front of me is some poker chips, and I don't have a lot, so I'm really simplifying this down. Think of these pile of poker chips here as the TPO score for a club. So I've got the camera in reverse here, so bear with me, but on one side, team one here, obviously the lowest score, less poker chips, and they're the least favoured, and on this side here we have obviously a much bigger stack of chips and they're the favourites. So if you think about an example, maybe this would be something like a Sydney FC on one side, very big pile of chips, versus a Darwin Rovers in the FFA Cup a year or two ago. So Sydney, obviously, much bigger score, heavily favoured. Now, the way that the system works is that the ELO calculation will look at these two and it'll dictate how many chips are risked by each club. So, for instance, it might look at this and it'd say, okay, well, Sydney's obviously much more favoured. They might have to risk, say, 10 chips down here, and Darwin Rovers one, you know, and that might be what the calculation says. At the end of the game, let's say Sydney actually does win, they will take all those back. So essentially what's happened is that Sydney, by winning that game, has picked up one chip. Mm-hmm. And so you can think of that as when we talk about how many points are being transferred from one club to another, that's kind of what we're talking about. If it had gone the other way and there was a big upset, these would all move over to Darwin Rovers' side, and they will have risked one chip in that exchange, in that game, and by winning they pick up 10. So you can see that the points transferred is much bigger if the underdog wins.
Sure.
Now, if we just, again, another quick example, we'll kind of make these piles a little bit more even. Maybe it's something like this. Still, one team is slightly higher TPO score than the other, but it's much more even. So in this case, the rankings might say, well, this team has to risk, say, four chips, and this one's risking three. So it's just, I guess, if you think about that, that the team with the higher stack, the higher TPO, will always risk more in terms of how many points they might lose if they don't win. And if they do win against this team that they are expected to beat, they'll pick up some points, but never quite as much as they would have lost if it had gone the other way. So, look, it's a very simple example, and I'm kind of taking out a number of the variables like goal difference and home field advantage. But what it does is that it kind of shows that at its very simplest, the team that wins will always pick up some points. The bigger the gap between the team that is more favoured and the smaller stack team, the underdog, the bigger that gap, the more points that can potentially be transferred. So let me fix this camera back up now.
Yep, cool.
Hopefully, hopefully we haven't turned everybody off at this point, but it isn't much more complicated than that.
Yeah, and guys, if you do have questions, obviously just shoot them through as always. And Jake, at the moment, we've got, I think, 198 clubs. So we say 200, but really, I think it's 198 around the country. But
200 sounds better.
200 sounds way better. We're working on including a lot more. Can you go into this just briefly?
Yeah, so I guess where it started, like we said, we saw some other people doing ELO ratings for the A-League clubs. We decided we'd add EMPL clubs to that. So that was kind of the starting point. And even that wasn't really enough, so we quickly expanded it to do the top two tiers in most of the states at least. So that's where we're at right now with the 198. The short answer is we're not happy with that either. It's a good starting point. We can pull out some interesting things, but we want to go further. So the ultimate goal is that we'll include every club in Australia, every football club that has a men's national team. And we've actually got a lot of that data ready in terms of the clubs that we want to include and the leagues that we want to include around Australia, and it'll get us well over 1,000 clubs. Yeah. So that's kind of where we want to get to.
Yeah, and we've had a lot of requests for people online saying, where's our club, where's this club? And we just haven't gotten there yet. And to be honest, guys, and put a little bit of an ask out at the moment, there is a reason for this. Excel spreadsheets aren't enough to basically run the data that is needed. As you can imagine, there's a lot of data. And we were working with an offshore web developer to basically develop this website, because that's what's needed to host these 1,000 clubs and everything involved. That's just fallen through, unfortunately. We were hoping to have that website out a long time ago. Hasn't come to fruition. We want to get an idea of how much it'll cost to put this website together. So if you know a good website developer, and bonus if they like football, can you message us on Facebook or email us? Our email address is hello@thepeckingorder.com.au. Any help at all in that regard. We really want to get from 200 clubs to 1,000 plus clubs and get a good website going. So yeah, please hit us up on Facebook or email. Now, Jake,
just before you move on as well, I guess the selling point we like to throw out there is over 1,000 clubs, 40 years of football history, and over 100,000 games. Mm. And that's not making up numbers. That we've got that data ready, and unfortunately, it's not come through on the website being able to process that. But 100,000 games is a huge number of kind of data points that the processing has to go through. So it's exciting that we have all that ready, and eventually we'll get it out. But yep. There's a couple of steps to go to before then.
Yeah, so if you are watching, guys, and you're sitting there going, I wish my local club or a club I support was included in the top 200. Like, I play up here on the sunny coast for Caloundra, my team's not included. I'd love to see where we go and go up and down the rankings each sort of week. But unfortunately, we don't have the website at the moment. So please do help if you can. We're not asking for any money or anything like that. Just a recommendation if you know someone in the website development game. Cool. Well, Jake, let's move on to part three, our final segment of the show, and that's the coming weekend's games. I'm going to kick things off with Broadmeadow Magic, ranked 33rd on the rankings, versus Lambton Jaffers, who we featured last week, ranked 35th, so very close there, only two spots separating them. It's a teapot game, the Pecking Order Championship game of Northern New South Wales, and Broadmeadow Magic currently holding that after their opening round win. They beat Lake Macquarie City 6-0. Lambton Jaffers, as mentioned, beating Edgeworth 4-3. We have Broadmeadow, 44.2% chance of winning. Lambton Jaffers, 33.6% chance. So pretty evenly matched there. Broadmeadow, obviously, at home, slight favourites. Predicted to finish first. Lambton Jaffers predicted to finish second. So maybe we'll see some discrepancies in the Instagram stories poll this week. We're predicting Broadmeadow. Let's see if maybe the crowd might go Lambton Jaffers, but we'll see. Jake, what's your first game?
You've just covered it. My first one was Broadmeadow and Lambton, and this was an obvious one for me. I think this is the game of the week, just in terms of, I mean, such an early point in the season, but you looked at Lambton Jaffers' first two games, and they like I said, Edgeworth Eagles last week and Broadmeadow this week. It's their, probably those three of the clubs that you'd think would be fighting out for the premiership. So if Lambton can get away with two wins from the start of the season, that'll really set them up. But like you mentioned, Teapot game, but the other one that I thought was interesting is when you look at the results since 2013, which is what we kind of have gone back to for this, Broadmeadow Magic is the bogey team for Lambton Jaffers. So maybe that helps us out in terms of our prediction that, or our probability saying that Broadmeadow will win. Maybe the fact that there's that bogey team for Lambton, it'll favour the home team that little bit more. But I guess the other one is if you look at the TPO points of those two teams with the graphic we've got up, a win for Lambton Jaffers will more than likely push them to be the top ranked club in the Northern New South Wales. So,
brilliant.
Obviously, Edgeworth Eagles slightly ahead of those two as well, but it's very close. Yep. So could see them moving into that position.
I don't know if we've got any other so closely contended in terms of the top three clubs of any state. I suppose the Victorian clubs and New South Wales NPL, like with Apia and Blacktown up there. In Victoria, we have Heidelberg and Bentley Greens. But this league here, Northern New South Wales, it's interesting to see the three top clubs so closely ranked together.
Yeah, on the rankings at least, like you say. Maybe Queensland's getting a little bit that way. There's Brisbane Strikers, Western Pride, and Moreton Bay are all
and Olympic are starting to push tight there too.
Yeah, so there's a few like that, but maybe that's something we can look at next week.
Yeah, good idea.
Might bring that up for people.
Cool. Okay, I'll go on to the next one. And I've picked an A-League game here, something we don't do too often, but Adelaide United versus Newcastle Jets. Adelaide ranked fifth. Newcastle Jets storming up the table. They're at fourth. Only four games to go in the A-League, and Adelaide are at a bit of risk of dropping outside the final spot, coming off a 1-1 draw with Melbourne City. And the Jets are taking a 1-0 win away from home against Wellington. And just quietly, they're only 5 points behind Sydney FC with four games to go. I mean, it's a huge ask, but who knows? And
I think just to add to that, we do our predicted tables and run our simulations each week. And I think not much changed despite Sydney dropping points, but Newcastle's still being put down as a 3% chance of taking the premiership. So it's a long shot, but there's still a chance there.
And we have, and also just to mention how closely the TPO predicted, who's predicted to win, we have Newcastle with 39.5% chance of winning and Adelaide with 37.3% chance, so very close. Jake, what's your second game?
So I've gone to the Queensland NPL for my second one this week, Moreton Bay versus Lions. So two clubs with very opposite weekends just gone. So Moreton Bay, as we said before, being beaten 5-0 by Western Pride. And Lions have just beaten Sunshine Coast Fire 13-0. So lots of goals in the Lions team, at least against a Sunny Coast team that's struggling lately. And when I say lately, I guess for the last season and a bit, really. And Lions with Giancarlos Solozano, ex-Brisbane Roar and Melbourne Victory player, got on the score sheet I saw. So I think the reason I find this one so interesting is Queensland's a top four finals out of... They've got 14 clubs in the NPL, and so top four will make the finals. the way that we're looking at the moment in terms of our simulations, it kind of suggests that there's five clubs that are going to be fighting for those four spots. And Lions are currently the fifth and predicted to finish just outside of that. So these are the sort of... And it's very close, I guess, is the other point. Mm. So these are the sort of games that if Lions are going to sneak into the finals in their debut winning. Season, yeah, they can pick up points against a team like Moreton Bay here who, as we say, might be a bit rattled after last weekend's thumping that... Yeah. Maybe they can be pushing. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Lions can get up over Moreton Bay away from home.
And that's interesting too. We have Moreton Bay United, 47.9% chance or probability of winning that one. Lions at 30.2. So Moreton Bay, pretty heavily favourites there. And I don't know, if I was a betting man, I'd maybe throw a few sneaky ones on Lions. But anyway, moving on to my third...
No, you're not allowed to do that. No, you have to go on the TPO side.
Yeah, of course. Moving on to my third game, and that's in the New South Wales NPL, Marconi Stallions, who are ranked 40th, versus APL Leichhardt, who are ranked 14th, very high. Marconi with a great start to the season, 4 points from two games, coming away from the weekend with a draw against Bonnie Rig White Eagles. Yeah, they've already climbed four spots from the start of the season in just two games. APR beating Sydney Olympic 2-0 and to take an early lead on the ladder. They're two wins from two. APR less than half a TPO point when you consider that they're on, 2,110 points. They're less than half a point behind Blacktown City, their New South Wales NPL sort of rivals. So you can imagine a win here would probably see them jump to 13th if Blacktown are to drop points. Jake, I think this is the final game we've got here, 6 from 6. What is it?
Yep, so my one here is in the Victorian NPL this week. So Pascavale versus Heidelberg. And I guess Heidelberg's obviously a very interesting one every week at the moment, just simply because they're ranked higher than Central Coast Mariners and Wellington Phoenix. Mm. So if nothing else, I think it's just interesting for me to see how long they can continue that. And they had another win on the weekend, so they've, Heidelberg, that is, pushed their TPO points higher. And at the same time, Wellington Phoenix dropped points, so the gap between Wellington and Heidelberg is actually increasing further, so they've got a bit of a buffer there to a degree. Pascavale ranked 23rd at the moment. I think their two wins, a draw and a loss to start their season. Including on the weekend, they came back from two goals down to draw with South Melbourne. Yep. So, look, Heidelberg are the favourites, and they'll be the favourites against any club that they are put up against at the moment until they drop points on the rankings, if they do.
Top of the pile in terms of non-A-League clubs.
Yeah, and well, I mean, I guess that's one way to look at it at the moment, at least from a rankings point of view, if they're anything to go by, which they obviously are, as far as we're concerned. Heidelberg's the top-ranked club outside of the A-League, so the best state league club in the country as it sits right now. So, look, Pascavale sitting in fourth on the table at the moment. Goal difference is all obviously pretty congested, and they're expected to finish in the in about fifth, which will get them into the finals. But so it'll be interesting to see if they can do something against Heidelberg or if Heidelberg will continue moving up their TPO score.
Cool. Well, that's the six games we've covered. That's the final segment of the show. So, guys, a few reminders. Number one, as we mentioned earlier, if you do know a website developer, please get in touch. Facebook, comment, message, or send us an email, hello@thepeckingorder.com.au. The other one is the weekly roundup. We're still sending that out. Had a fantastic response so far. So if you want that sent to you for free every Wednesday, usually morning, just sign up via our Facebook page. On the left-hand side, there's a menu, email sign up. Click on that, put your email in. And the other one, guys, if you're into YouTube, please give us a subscribe and Facebook. Like, share, all that sort of stuff. I know I've asked for a lot, just wrapping it all in here, but we're doing a lot to put this show together. We really want to keep improving it. We want to expand the rankings. We've got huge plans. Honestly, we do. We're very passionate about this and really feel strongly it's something that's needed in the game, and it's really interesting to us, so I hope you guys are enjoying it too. Remember, also, Instagram stories. Basically now, if you're watching this video Wednesday night, to Thursday night, get on there and start voting. I know I do on my personal page too, so I'm part of that supporters group. Anyway, that's enough. Jake, thanks for joining me in round 5 of the Pecking Order Show.
No worries, Cody. Thanks for having me.
Legendary.
Hope that you had a choice.
All right, guys. See you next. Actually, Jay, before we go, are there any games over the Easter break? I'll have to look into that.
Put me on the spot. I'll have to check that out.
Not sure, guys. If we don't see you over Easter, we'll certainly be back the following week for round 6 of the Peking Order Show. See you then.